by a couple of different things, and it's pretty much a new term. You kind of hear it as a buzzword in the industry or in leadership and in business, and it's a term that was coined by Daniel Goleman 23 years ago in his book in 1996 called Emotional Intelligence. And he got it from a couple other researchers who had published a paper on it. So the term itself has only been around about 20 years, 25 years. And so it's a new science, essentially. And it's really the practice of being in the here and now to be aware of how you are in the moment in relation to what else is going on. And that means a whole lot of other things to different people. Each of us probably hears that a little differently, but I think of it really in terms of like knowing myself to be a leader in the world and relating to others. And so that's what I define as emotional intelligence.
Okay. And then quite obviously that's highly important for entrepreneurs and business owners as to who they are and what they're doing in their business. It's kind of everything would be centered around that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's been research, and this is based again on Daniel Goleman, who I study with. I study with also the Wright Foundation, who is where I've been studying emotional and social learning for 8 years. It's the number one skill recruited by leaders. So whether it's an interview or you're growing a team or building your own business, if you aren't able to relate to others, you really can't go far. And so it's something that, like I said, I keep going back to this, but it's so new. It's not about the technical or the performative skills anymore. We can all learn things like you were mentioning, like copywriting, networking, like these are more tactical things, but to relate to others, and that relates to networking as well, is a skill that requires us to strengthen our internal muscles of how do we feel, noticing how we feel, and being aware enough to know how that can really relate to the external world. Because if I'm not relating to myself and understanding how I feel or where I'm at in the moment and being present, there's no way that I'm going to be able to do that successfully outside of myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the typical work environment that exists nowadays with a lot of the business owners who are listening to this. There are a lot of stigmas that exist in our work culture. You've described us as an always-on society. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means and some problems that this creates?
Yeah, who doesn't think we're in an always-on society? I feel like every one of us can relate on the planet. For business leaders like us, you know, we think we need to be on all the time, and I think all of us can relate to that in some way, shape, or form. And that means potentially answering your emails at any given hour, any day of the week, any time. It might mean go, go, go. You're really in the focus of the task mode and checking off your boxes and getting things done, which is great. And I'm all for productivity. However, the always on world means that it implies that we don't take any pauses or we're not being in service to the doing. And the reality is our world has shifted so much with the digital era that it's just not sustainable to go always on. And we're seeing that in our health statistics where burnout, I just did a TEDx talk on this. Burnout is recently classified as an occupational hazard by the World Health Organization. 2 out of 3 people think that they're either burned out often or most of the time. So there's clearly an epidemic going on, and what that means to me is a signal that we need to change what we're doing and how we're doing it more or less, because we can't keep going like this. If we choose to take a break, we think we're going to look like slackers. So there's a perception out there that if we are slowing down or if we're taking, God forbid, our full weekend for ourselves, then we're going to fall behind. And the reality is, You can do that, but how much can you keep that up? And we've heard from thought leaders like Arianna Huffington, who literally had a mental collapse because she was working so hard and hit her head, and we all know that story in Thrive, and then her work in sleep, and many others who have been a culprit of the always on society. So my thoughts are, and I write about this in Pause the Book, is that we need to each take personal responsibility to set boundaries and limitations for ourselves. And I call a pause any intentional shift in behavior. So that's something different for all of us. But I think the big idea is always on isn't working. It's actually counterintuitive to pause or have some being in service to the doing. But if you really want to go far, if you want to succeed, we need to incorporate that and integrate it as a mindset, as a way of being, because otherwise we will burn out if we're not careful. And it's up to each of us. It's not society's problem. We are society. We have to individually decide what is best for us and then create those ways of being. It might be a daily pause, or it might be that mindset, or just saying, I'm not answering my email after 9 p.m. or 6 p.m. on a probably normal basis. And that's going to be different and in flux for all of us. But I think each of us, it's up to us to, in our own sense of duty to ourselves and our own satisfaction and happiness, that we need to carve out those boundaries, limits, and expectations that we each need to have for ourselves.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
So talking about the pause a little bit more, you said it can vary, you know, person to person with what a pause is to you, but can you give us some examples of what you would suggest that people try to incorporate pauses in their lives?
Yeah, I have a ton of these. So I think the way I think about it is, again, a pause is any intentional shift in behavior. So this can be as simple as a breath, like a single breath. And we can all do this one together. If you want to put a hand on your diaphragm or your heart space or anything, just go ahead. And if you can close your eyes, go for it. But if you just breathe, inhaling through your nose, maybe hold it intentionally and then exhale. Open your eyes if they were closed. Notice if you feel any different. I personally feel different. I feel a little slower. My heartbeat, I think, decreased slightly. So there's those intentional shifts like that can be 5 seconds. And you could do those throughout the day. The key is intention. So that's one. I love the belly breath pause. And I think another popular one we just were talking about is the digital device pause. And this one's a lot harder because we're actually fueled by a lot of the the results of checking our emails and the dopamine that we get is a neurotransmitter chemical wash every time we check our phones, and our reward center in our brain lights up. So creating those boundaries with digital devices is so important. I don't know about you, Jess, but for me, I don't sleep with my phone in my room. I put it out in the hallway and it charges there. And that makes a big difference. I don't always think about it like that, but now that I've done it for a while, and it takes 30 days to create any new habits, that's what the research says, that's a good one, and it's super easy to do. Mm-hmm. Other ones, and I have a whole bunch of different types of these in a checklist that I have in my Facebook group, but I think there's the mindful pause, which is literally anything you're already doing. It might be brushing your teeth or walking down the street, filling your cup up at the tea station or water bottle, is to notice, is to be aware of what you're doing. And it might just be noticing the color or the texture of what is going on. It might be the tree in front of you as you're walking down the street and you're noticing the green or the lack of green leaves, and if it's the winter time like now. Mm-hmm. So there's the mindful pause, and that's literally people, I think it takes a lot of time to pause, and that's not the case at all. It's actually more, like I said, like an integration of what is it that you're noticing. And I take a hint from Dr. Ellen Langer, who is someone who I've been studying and I'm friends with now, which is great. She's in Harvard and the first tenured women professor, but she's come up with this idea of mindfulness and mindlessness. And if we're not noticing new things, we're not being mindful. And that's all it is. It doesn't mean you have to meditate. It doesn't mean you have to have some big routine. It's really just, what can you do that works for you? Mm-hmm. Might be your favorite passion project. It could be a risk that you want to take, maybe in a conversation with someone. So again, it's any intentional shift in behavior, and there's many ways to do that.
Absolutely. Okay. I was just having a conversation with someone the other day about watching television, because we'll work and we'll feel stressed out, and we will try to take a pause by watching television and not feel any better. Mm-hmm. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, this really ties into what you're saying about your, what you're doing when you're, it's not just taking a break in any capacity, it's the mental attention to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I noticed that as well for me. So a great example is we all do our binge watching. If we're not living under a rock and we're in the tech era, I think we all love our little fix for whatever that might be. Maybe it's Netflix, or maybe it's just like a movie you want to watch, mm-hmm. or a show. And that can actually be really stressful depending on the content in itself. And then if we're not intentional about it, then it kind of, we can get sucked in, just like a social media scan where you're like, you know, lost in your Instagram and five minutes go by to 30 minutes. And then you're like, whoa, where did my time go? So it's really important to set an intention first. I know for me, so this recently happened. I was watching, I got HBO for the month. Like, I don't know, I have Netflix, but I don't have HBO now. And I started watching the show Big Little Lies, which I am interested in, but it's really just this big soap opera. And I noticed how stressed I was after I start. I was just like paranoid and watching it. And I was like, oh my God, this, and I was just caught up in the story. And it also takes place here in the Monterey Bay area near me. So I just like felt like I was right there. And I just noticed, I'm like, why am I thinking about this so much? And I feel like I kind of let myself into it and like watch too much of it. I think I probably watched like two or three episodes that one time. And that's a good example of like, if you find yourself maybe even more stressed out than when you started, you're mm-hmm. aiming to relax. And this could be anything. Maybe you're active in sports and like you go out and you're just like exhausted from this crazy run you just did. I know I used to do that. And then you just gotta be mindful. Like that's that whole practice of being aware. And that is emotional intelligence. When you're feeling that depletion, to know that you need a pause and to regenerate your energy. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I think is a really big way to understand like what you can do, as opposed to like going into that rabbit hole of watching a lot of things. Like set a boundary, say, okay, I'm going to watch one episode. I'm going to set a timer for 45 minutes, whatever it is. That's really a great strategy. So you're not going to go unlimited. And that applies to social media too.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Do you have any suggestions for how to get in the habit of checking in with ourselves? Cause I think that a lot of people in our, you know, in the business world, they tend to just run harder into the chaos when there is chaos, and they don't even notice that something's out of control.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, who's been there? I'm raising my hand right now. for sure. And I have a few tips. So this has really changed my life. So the whole story and why I teach this now and train on this is, I did burn out. I burned out of Google 8 years ago now. I did go back. I'm actually there now, but I learned some really valuable lessons. And so they all are in the realm of emotional intelligence. And the first one is to be aware of how you feel. And this is so powerful. We think about a lot of times like feelings aren't part of business maybe, or if they are, it's like on the side. And so that is just bullshit. Like the idea is you can name a feeling. And I work with five primary feelings. So the five primary feelings, and this is to simplify it so you don't get in your head and ruminate around what you feel or don't feel. The five feelings are fear, and then joy. So fear, joy, sadness, anger. And the last one, which a lot of people aren't familiar with or think that it's a primary feeling, is hurt. Fear, joy, sadness, anger, hurt. There's no order to those. And sometimes you can sub in words like anxiety, that's basically fear, frustration, that's kind of the business term for anger. And so if you just stick to those five and ask yourself even once a day what you're feeling, fear, hurt, joy, sadness, anger, you're developing your emotional intelligence muscle, your internal muscle, just like meditation can develop your attention training. This is training your EI network internally. And sometimes you don't know what you do feel at all. Like right now, if you asked yourself, Jess, I'll ask you, what are you feeling? Fear, hurt, joy, sadness, or anger? what would you say?
I'm feeling joy today.
Great. And I love how you answered that, because it's not about explaining why you feel that, you know, like maybe it's one that has a negative connotation. A lot of people think, like, anger. The key is just to not explain it. It's just how you feel. It's part of you. We're designed to feel. Our creator created us to feel, pretty much meaning, why would we have that as a default when we're not supposed to feel, right? So just acknowledging that is very validating in terms of affirming what's going on with you and feeling authentic. So that's like the first thing it does. And then it also takes you and drops you immediately in the present moment, right? Like, you can't feel with your head. You can't be like, well, I think I feel this. I mean, you could say that, but like, you really need to connect with your body, being neck down living, which we kind of forget about sometimes as business people. We forget we have this body attached to our heads, and really check in. So that's what that is a very powerful tool for, just naming a feeling. It's so important to just notice that. And I would start with once a day, build up to three times a day, maybe like around a meal or like something that you remember to check in on it, and just stick to those five: fear, hurt, joy, sadness, anger. And if you don't know, go with a process of elimination. Be like, well, it's not this. It's not definitely not fear. It's not joy. Kind of calm. I don't know what that is. That's a state. But okay, it's not anger. I guess it's a little sadness and maybe a little hurt. You know, like just something like that. And that's a really powerful skill for entrepreneurs. It also helps you be more aware. That's what the whole EI field is. So if I'm understanding how I feel, I can be more present with others, no matter what they're feeling, or recognize what they're feeling, or just go about my day. That's one. And then the second thing that I want to talk about is just understanding how the brain works. I do a lot in neuroscience and study neuroscience. And the idea is that our brains work in two primary ways. One is through like the task mode, which we all know and love, right? We're getting our stuff done. We're checking our boxes off. Maybe you're firing off your emails. Great. So when we're in that mode, it's actually not possible to be in that visionary open space. Our brains are either task mode and focused, or they are in this open, more visionary and creative space. And it's binary, meaning our brains can, like a light switch, go into one mode or go into the other. So if you're following that means if you're an entrepreneur and a creator and building a business, you need to have both of those skills, which requires us to change those modes up. And so it's important to get out of that task mode and step into the vision and creative space practically every 90 minutes. And that's about the same time you hear, like, you got to get up and take a break, right? So I would recommend at the minimum doing 90-minute intervals for anything you're working on, but then take a 3-minute break, get up from your desk, make eye contact with someone. If you're in a working environment where there's other people around, go outside, walk your pet, like anything you can do to really just get out of that task mode, noticing with your five senses, how are you like feeling, sensing, touching, tasting, hearing, all of those things qualify. And they take us out of that default mode network, which is the task mode, and into that visionary task positive network. It's called TPN. And it's really important to do that. Otherwise, what happens is in task mode, as you probably can guess, we're not very nourished or replenished in that mode, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So we need to create the time or the space for being creative or in that visionary mode. And that means we got to step out of our task mode. And that's why that always on issue is a big problem right now, because if we're always on, we're not out of that mode. We end up getting burned out or spiraling down or feeling depleted. And that's because we're not creating the space to be and to have that visionary time or the TPN time where our brains are on that other switch where we're lit up based on the senses and the different way of thinking. And so I think those two things, if you can do two of those two things alone, I imagine a day could radically shift based on those two things, mm-hmm. even the one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems like even incorporating that in one day, you know, if you've never done it before and you bring it into one day, you're going to feel the difference. Like you said, with that one breath, it's an immediate difference that you can feel, and that will give you more motivation to continue with it and make it a habit and incorporate it into your lifestyle as you go on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then one more I want to mention, because I do think it's important as a leader, is journaling. So that daily pauses can be a journaling exercise. And that could just mean even like three things you're grateful for in the morning or in the evening or anything you want to write about. And there's research that shows when we write about emotional experiences, our mood improves. So that's a great thing to start doing, even if it's a couple times a week.
That's awesome. I'm a big journaler. I definitely
I go in and out of it, but yeah, I try to do like every day. I don't think I'm perfect at that, and none of us are, but it really matters. Like, it really helps me when I do it, I notice.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you say what it could be just writing down three things, because I think that people think in order to be a journaler, you have to write, you know, an essay every morning or
something. But 2 minutes, three times a week is the one that I think is a great recommendation. 2 minutes, you could set a timer right when you get up, three times a week, and that could be all you need.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I think this is really great information. Do you have any kind of summary advice, any last takeaways to kind of sum up the topic?
Yeah, I've got a lot of takeaways, but I'll stick to a couple. The one is, if you feel like you're struggling with this burnout, or you feel like it's like a freight train that can't stop, a lot of times we're like in the momentum of it, and you're like, I don't even know how to get off this freight train or slow down. What are you talking about? I think the book I wrote called Pause is a really good understanding of the tools you could use and start using to be more self-aware. I think that's all that really comes down to. You might already be self-aware, which is awesome. So why not develop those skills even more? And they're based in emotional intelligence. So the book Pause has, at the end of every chapter, exercises to just do, whether they're reflective in your thoughts or you can write them down. I'd say for anyone struggling with that, it's got a really good understanding of the types of pauses you can take. And I interview 13 people who I think have meaningful pauses in their lives that have changed the way they live as a result. And again, they're not all long pauses. So that's the first thing, is just to like get familiar with the resources out there. And that's one of them. And then I think really it's like, I can't emphasize it enough. It's like self-awareness. So just naming a feeling like we talked about, we practiced, is a really powerful start. And then what happens is, once you start to notice things, you start to notice more things, and you start to like really see maybe what you hadn't thought of before. And then you'll have a new insight about something. It might be yourself or how you work or something that you could use. And all of that is really powerful, but unless you pause, you may miss that. Right? So allow yourself the space, just one thing a day that could work for you to intentionally shift your behavior. And ideally try it for 30 days. It takes 30 days to form any new habit. And if you don't have 30 days, try to make it what could work for you. Maybe it's a breath pause like that, but it's literally 5 seconds for 30 days. Or maybe it's a longer type of pause, like you do want to journal. You really want to give that a go. We've got the new year coming up, 2020, new decade. Why not set yourself up with ways to be successful with a pause? And some of those daily pauses are some of the best ways to start. And I have a podcast, so I have a monthly podcast that is highlighting a leader in the space, whether it's neuroscience or emotional intelligence, someone who I think has done a great job in helping us know more about being in our own zone of genius and being more mindful in some way. So I invite you to check that out on any podcast channel. And then the one last thing I'll mention, which I have a free guidebook. So anyone can get the blueprint for the three keys to turn overwhelm into thriving at work. And that's something you can just download for free on my site.